I Just Want You For My Own, a Star Wars fanfiction, written by Elysian Prince and read by Kitana. Summary.
How long have we been together?
Obi-Wan gave the question some thought, trying to recall when he had first mentioned seeing someone. Only a few months.
And I'm already meeting the in-laws?
Anakin whistled.
I guess we're pretty serious then?
Obi-Wan's mouth went dry at Anakin's comment, ears ringing with the sound of his own heartbeat. It appears that way.
We can say that we met at a party or at the park or through Oven Charlie. Something we'll probably forget and then have to make up again. We can say that we met doing yoga or at the coffee shop over mocha. Something we'll probably forget and then have to make up again.
Chapter 1. The moment Obi-Wan saw the corner of a deep red envelope sticking out of the pile of mail that had been slipped through his mail slot, he was filled with dread. Immediately he pulled it from the stack, and if the red envelope itself wasn't enough of a giveaway, the gold wax seal on the back was ample confirmation of who it was from. His grandfather would never stoop to the middle-class tradition of calling and inviting Obi-Wan to the holiday party he hosted every year at the estate. No, that would be far too inelegant and much too personal. Never mind the fact that he was Dooku's only living relative now. Obi-Wan carefully peeled open the envelope's wax seal to read the card inside. As predicted, it was the usual invitation. But this year's message had something new that made Obi-Wan's heart plummet. Do bring along your partner you've spoken so highly of the past few months. I believe it's time for him to meet your family. A sick laugh bubbled up in his throat as he tossed the card onto the table. His partner. The person who very much did not exist. But Obi-Wan had been feeding his grandfather lies about his imaginary relationship in order to get the family patriarch off his back about settling down.
Is it too late to retreat into nature and become a hermit? Obi-Wan asked the moment Satine answered his phone call.
It's never too late in life to try new things, but you're far too fair-complected to spend that much time outside. Her light chuckle drifted across the phone line. What did you do this time?
Well, you're already aware of how my grandfather has been encouraging me to settle down, but I may have led him to believe I've been seeing someone for quite some time.
Obi-Wan winced at his own admission. Ever since Obi-Wan's father Qui-Gon had passed away the year before, it seemed Dooku was even more hell-bent on controlling every aspect of his life. Obi-Wan had hardly thought it could have gotten worse than it had been when he was a child, but he was wrong. It had become so suffocating he resigned to do the only thing he could think of, concocting some fictional partner to appease his grandfather. And it had worked wonderfully. Until now.
I see, and now he wishes to meet this mystery person who's won his only grandchild's heart?
The humor was clear in Satine's voice. He supposed he'd be laughing, too, if any of his friends found themselves in a similar predicament. Obi-Wan sighed into the phone.
There's only one way out of this, isn't there? You truly did back yourself into a corner on this one, darling.
That's why I called you, Obi-Wan said. I don't know anyone who could step into the role.
Obviously, I'm out of the question. What about Quinlan?
No, forget that. Bringing him would only make things worse. Satine hummed as she thought for a moment.
Bant?
No, I can't ask her. I may have specified that this significant other is Amon, Obi-Wan added.
Oh? Satine sounded entirely too intrigued by that revelation.
Obi-Wan, was there a particular person you had in mind while you dug this nice little grave for yourself?
Unbidden images flashed in his mind of eyes the color of a clear sky, curls that shone like a golden halo when the lighting hit at just the right angle.
No, whatever would make you think of that, he lied, because clearly that was one of his strong suits.
Well, if you can't think of anyone in particular, I may know a man I could ask for you. This should be easier to pull off with someone who has mutual friends.
Obi-Wan didn't trust the tone of Satine's voice. But what other options did he have? There was already very little hope of finding someone to accompany him with Christmas being only days away. The whole situation felt laughably childish, but Dooku's attempts to control nearly every aspect of his life would only be exacerbated if he were to catch Obi-Wan in such a blatant and, quite frankly, pathetic lie. After getting off the phone, Obi-Wan allowed himself a good while to curse his foolishness for creating this predicament in the first place. He was smarter than this. He shouldn't have gotten tangled in his own web of lies, and yet, somehow, here he was. But it wasn't long before his thoughts were interrupted by a text message from an unknown number.
Hey, this is Anakin! Smiley face emoji!
Obi-Wan stared down at the screen, racking his brain for why that name sounded so familiar. Which of Satine's friends was this? Or perhaps he was one of Padme's? He typed out a response. Forgive me, have we met before? The reply came back almost instantly.
No, I don't think we have. I was the pirate who won the costume contest at Padme's Halloween party. That ring a bell?
Oh, it certainly did.
Tomet Satine.
The one who had a real hook hand, Obi-Wan managed to type and send before tossing his phone onto the couch. He already knew the answer to his own question. Of course it was him. Anakin, apparently. The handsome young man with golden curls Obi-Wan had noticed across the room at the last couple of Satine and Padme's parties. They had never spoken, as Anakin always stayed tucked away with his close friends, a young woman with vitiligo and two-toned braids, and a severe-looking man with cropped, bleach-blonde hair. The three of them together seemed unapproachable to him, off in their own personal bubble, no matter the crowd at those get-togethers. How terribly grade school of Obi-Wan to carry a torch for someone who likely was unaware of his existence. Not that anyone like Anakin would likely even be interested in Obi-Wan. Or, at least, that's how he justified his inaction to himself. His phone buzzed again.
Yup, that's the one! Big smile emoji!
Obi-Wan already found Anakin endearing by his use of emojis, and he still hadn't even met the man yet. This was dangerous. This was a terrible idea. But he was already playing with fire, so why not throw himself in all the way? They continued to text the rest of the evening, ironing out the details of what time Anakin would come pick Obi-Wan up for their grand deceit on Christmas Day. If the way Anakin texted was indicative of his personality, Obi-Wan might actually be able to enjoy the charade while it lasted. The only thing worse than pretending to date a man he actually did like would be to reveal to his overbearing grandfather that he had been lying. But everything would be fine so long as Obi-Wan kept reminding himself that Anakin was simply doing this to help out a friend of a friend, nothing more. It wasn't like Anakin was actually interested in him. It was just part of the act. Shortly before noon on Christmas Day, Obi-Wan found himself standing outside of his apartment with a cup of coffee, clinging to it as though it was his only hope of making it through the day. He tugged on his coat with one hand, trying to pull it closed over his beige sweater and failing miserably. He should have buttoned it before stepping out into the brisk winter air. But it was too late now, leaving him to live with his decision as he nestled further into his scarf to fight off the chill. Thankfully, Obi-Wan didn't have to wait too long before a shiny car zipped down the street, pulling up next to the curb where he was standing. His heart sped up in anticipation, and the moment Anakin stepped out of the car, Obi-Wan realized he had not only made a terrible decision, but probably the worst decision of his life. Obi-Wan tried, but failed, to keep his jaw from dropping at the sight of Anakin in a black turtleneck sweater and a long dark gray wool coat that accentuated his tall figure. The winter sun caught his hair just right, exactly as it had the first time Obi-Wan saw him at the party, and his curls gleamed golden and bright as if an angel gifted him their halo long ago. Anakin gave Obi-Wan a friendly wave.
Sorry, no pirate costume today. Padme said you were going for something more under the radar and not offend the whole family.
Obi-Wan's stunned silence earned him a peculiar look from Anakin.
Do I look okay? Padme sent some extra clothes in case I need to change.
No, you look fine. Very handsome, if I'm being honest.
Obi-Wan felt his face flush at his difficulty with articulating his words. He was certainly making a wonderful first impression on the young man. Anakin grinned at him.
Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be, Obi-Wan sighed.
Then hop on in,
Anakin motioned to his car. Obi-Wan tilted his head in confusion.
Oh, I assumed we would take my car. I know the way.
That car?
Anakin pointed to Obi-Wan's Honda Civic parked a bit further down the street.
No offense, but we should take mine.
There's nothing wrong with my car, Obi-Wan protested, knowing full well his car was likely older than the young man in front of him.
Look, we just met, so I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth. I'm sure it's a nice, reliable car that gets you to and from work without trouble every day, Anakin said. But we're taking mine.
If you insist, Obi-Wan relented, heading toward the passenger side of Anakin's sporty little car. Anakin looked downright gleeful about having won. As Obi-Wan got inside the car and set his coffee down in the cup holder, the situation finally caught up with him. He almost laughed out loud at the sheer ridiculousness of it all. Here he was, getting into the car of a near stranger he very much had something of a crush on, and they were going to pretend to be a couple in front of his grandfather of all people. Quinlan would be laughing his ass off at Obi-Wan if he knew. The long drive to the estate started off a bit quiet. After inputting the address into the GPS, Anakin allowed Obi-Wan to fiddle with the radio so long as he promised to not put on something horrendous. But otherwise they sat in silence, only the sound of the radio filling the car. This had the potential to become the longest hour and a half drive of Obi-Wan's life. Although the silence was somewhat companionable, the lack of distraction was allowing Obi-Wan's nerves to creep in. Anakin was probably waiting for him to speak up first anyway. Thank you for this. I truly appreciate it, especially considering how short notice it was, Obi-Wan said, breaking the quietness that had fallen over them. If you would like any sort of compensation for your time...
I don't need anything, Anakin interrupted. I was just going to spend my day alone and then go see my mother and sister. This is actually a nice change of pace.
Are you certain? Obi-Wan asked. Anakin took his eyes off the road for a moment to shoot Obi-Wan a cocksure grin.
You'll just owe me one. So, Anakin started again, we should probably get to know each other and figure out our backstory before we get there, right?
Yes, of course. We'll need a cohesive front if we're to be convincing. Obi-Wan pondered what he should ask. There were a multitude of things he wanted to know about this charming man beside him. How old are you?
24, you?
Well, Obi-Wan thought dryly, at least he wasn't entirely robbing the cradle. 34. Anakin hummed in thought.
What is your favorite color?
Obi-Wan couldn't help but laugh at how Anakin phrased the question, his nerves melting into amusement. Monty Python, really?
Of course, it's a classic, Anakin laughed with him. Now what's your answer?
Blue, Obi-Wan replied.
Mine too.
Anakin turned to smile at him, his gaze lingering on Obi-Wan's face, in a way Obi-Wan chose to ignore for his own well-being. He shouldn't give in to wishful thinking. Anakin returned his attention back to the road before asking,
How long have we been together?
Obi-Wan gave the question some thought, trying to recall when he had first mentioned seeing someone. Only a few months.
And I'm already meeting the in-laws? Anakin whistled. I guess we're pretty serious then?
Obi-Wan's mouth went dry at Anakin's comment, ears ringing with the sound of his own heartbeat. It appears that way. Not letting up, Anakin followed it with another question.
How did we meet? I assume through Padme and Satine?
The first time I saw you across the room at one of Satine's parties. I was completely captivated by the way you laughed with your friends, the way your smile absolutely lit up your face. I just had to talk to you. Obi-Wan figured it didn't hurt to weave some truth into his answer.
I could tell you were watching me from across the room half the night, and I was so thrilled when you finally made your way over to introduce yourself that I almost forgot my own name, Anakin chimed in, adding to Obi-Wan's lie.
His heart pounded against his ribcage, and he wished Anakin's part held some truth, too. What was our first date? Obi-Wan asked, simultaneously wanting to avoid the path their conversation had turned down, and also needing to hear more of Anakin's dulcet voice.
We met for coffee the next day because I couldn't wait to see you again. You took me to your favorite local shop. We sat and talked for hours without even realizing how long we'd been there until the barista kicked us out to close up.
The expression on the young man's face was tender, the softness easing the defined planes of his face. I have been told I can be rather long-winded, Obi-Wan joked, earning him more bright laughter from Anakin. Somehow, it felt like they had known each other for years.
They slipped into a natural banter as they talked about anything and everything, and the way they seemed to just fit together so perfectly did wonders to calm Obi-Wan's nerves about the entire charade. Then, somehow, Anakin managed to catch him off guard.
"Top or bottom?"
he asked, lips quirked up in a smirk. If Obi-Wan had been drinking his coffee at that moment, it would have ended up all over the dashboard.
"I beg your pardon!" "You know, top or bottom bunk. Did you never go to camp? Or was Shakespeare Camp too good for bunk beds?"
Anakin feigned innocence, though the sly look on his face was a dead giveaway.
"Don't be ridiculous. We had bunk beds at Shakespeare Camp just the same as anyone else," Obi-Wan retorted, playing along with him. "Top bunk. I appreciate the view from above."
"Either is fine with me,"
Anakin answered in a slow drawl, though Obi-Wan noticed the tips of his ears had turned red.
"Did you really go to Shakespeare Camp?"
Obi-Wan gave a long-suffering sigh. "It was a drama retreat thing, and yes, my grandfather sent me. Every summer he would sign me up for the first one he deemed worth my time to prevent my father from sending me to an actual camp. That's how I met Satine. He rarely spent summers at home as a child, always packed up and sent off to whatever camp his grandfather had selected that year. It was hardly the worst thing in the world, but after losing his father last year, Obi-Wan longed to have more childhood memories with him to look back on. At least fencing camp and the lessons in the years after had been rather enjoyable.
I always wanted to go to space camp, but Mom couldn't afford it."
The look in Anakin's eyes was distant yet fond.
"She'd buy me books about spaceships whenever she could."
"That's very thoughtful of her," Obi-Wan commented as he thought about his own family.
His father had always been supportive of his interests, but the same definitely couldn't be said about his grandfather. Perhaps, sensing Obi-Wan's unease, Anakin changed the subject.
"So what do you do for a living?"
"I'm the head of youth services at the library," Obi-Wan answered, feeling as though his answer wasn't very impressive.
"Oh, sounds important," Anakin commented playfully.
Obi-Wan sighed, thinking fondly about the holiday card-making event from just a couple of weeks ago.
"Not really. It just means I'm the one the children usually cover in glue and confetti."
"Not glitter?"
"No, I bond glitter after the incident," Obi-Wan answered rather cryptically, much to Anakin's apparent amusement. "How about yourself?"
"Oh, I just do some design work for an engineering firm."
He hesitated for a moment, as if suddenly becoming shy.
I'd like to eventually work on prosthetics. I just tinker around with this thing for now."
He made a loose gesture with his right hand. With every passing moment, Obi-Wan was becoming more and more endeared to this bright young man. It was admirable that Anakin would want to work on something not only to improve his own livelihood, but also that of others. Anakin's voice jolted Obi-Wan out of his thoughts.
"Do you have any pets?"
"No, my apartment doesn't allow any."
"Well, I have a cat, and his name is R2,"
Anakin added proudly, a bright smile returning to his face.
"He doesn't really meow, he does this chirping thing instead, but he never shuts up. He used to be Padme's, but..."
"Satine is allergic to cats," Obi-Wan filled in.
"Yep, so R2 is mine now, which is fine, because he always liked me more than Padme anyway. But don't tell her I said that,"
Anakin whispered faux conspiratorially. "My lips are sealed." Obi-Wan swore Anakin's gaze dropped to his mouth for the briefest of moments, but he probably only imagined it. He took a sip of his coffee as he willed himself to stare out the windshield and nod at the man next to him.
"So, your apartment doesn't allow pets? Well, that won't do."
Obi-Wan quirked an eyebrow at Anakin, who sounded as if he were plotting something.
"I've got it! We're trying to find a new place close enough to both of our jobs and allows pets. It wouldn't really be so difficult, but you're pickier than I am, so you keep vetoing every single place we've looked at because they're not good enough,"
Anakin added, clearly running away with this idea of his. Obi-Wan tried to ignore the way his heart skipped at the insinuation that they were in a serious enough relationship to be considering moving in together. He had to remember it was all just an act. It didn't help that Anakin was too good at playing his part so far.
"Oh, I'm the picky one. You say that as if we don't deserve a nice home for ourselves," Obi-Wan played along, despite the way it made his heart ache. "Besides, you're the one who keeps going on about wanting a proper workshop at home."
"Maybe we should just start looking at houses instead," Anakin suggested.
"Perhaps we should," Obi-Wan agreed, though he couldn't help but add, "Although, isn't it a little soon for all of this? I don't even know if you snore in your sleep yet."
Instead of answering Obi-Wan's question, Anakin gave a soft smile and said,
"You know, a yard would be nice for kids."
Playing his part too well indeed. Obi-Wan supposed the young man was simply having fun with him, making light of the rather ridiculous situation they were both in thanks to Obi-Wan's fear of disappointing his family. Though Anakin was there of his own volition, and Obi-Wan was already grateful for the young man's kindness and his apparent dedication to seeing this through to its fullest. When Obi-Wan surfaced from his thoughts, he found Anakin watching him instead of the road ahead. He opened his mouth to remind him of road safety, but Anakin quickly spoke over him instead.
"Should we practice kissing before we get there?"
Instead of coherent thoughts coming out, Obi-Wan sputtered,
"No, no, not at all. My grandfather isn't one for affection of any sort, so he wouldn't expect such a display from us. An excellent recovery on his behalf. Besides, you're driving right now."
"Are you sure?"
Anakin seemed unusually persistent about this topic, and the redness warming his cheeks did not go unnoticed. Obi-Wan began to worry Anakin might be pushing the charade too far, and he didn't want his new friend to become uncomfortable, or to think that Obi-Wan expected more from him. "Pay attention to the road, Anakin," Obi-Wan answered dryly, trying to end that particular conversation. If Anakin gave him too much during this whole charade, he wasn't sure what he would do when they parted ways at the end. The conversation lulled for a moment after that. Anakin returned his full focus back to driving as traffic on the highway grew heavier, and Obi-Wan took to watching the hypnotic blur of trees as they passed by. At some point, Anakin had changed the radio to a Christmas station, and the nostalgia of the classic songs almost made him forget about the anxiousness gnawing at his nerves. When the overly familiar intro of "All I Want for Christmas Is You" started up, Obi-Wan had to bite back a laugh. He supposed it wouldn't truly be Christmas Day if he didn't hear that song at least once.
"We have to do something to make this believable, right?"
Anakin suddenly asked.
"What about pet names?"
Just when Obi-Wan thought he couldn't get any closer to spontaneously combusting, Anakin was truly full of surprises.
"I suppose you're right about that. Are there any you're opposed to?"
"Just don't call me babe or baby. You'll sound like some sort of sugar daddy," Anakin said with a coy smirk.
Obi-Wan burst into laughter at his joke. "I'll avoid those then. How about darling or dear one?" The tender expression in Anakin's eyes when he looked over to Obi-Wan made his heart jump into his throat.
"Those are perfect, sweetheart."
The way his cheeks flushed at Anakin's use of the endearment made Obi-Wan feel like a teenager again.
"Well, I'm glad we've settled that matter."
They continued to work out the finer details of their relationship, and Obi-Wan was amazed at how they got along so well, that it was almost unbelievably natural. He honestly couldn't imagine this plan working out with anyone besides Anakin. The more Obi-Wan got to know Anakin, the more he found that he genuinely liked him. He got so lost in enjoying Anakin's company that he hardly noticed how much time had passed until they were turning down the estate's familiar long driveway. Dread began creeping up Obi-Wan's spine as they neared the front gates of the property, and the feeling must have been contagious as he noticed Anakin shifting from easygoing to fidgety when they stopped the car at the closed gate.
"I forgot to ask, what does your grandfather do anyway?"
His eyes were wide as he took in their surroundings. Obi-Wan wondered what all Satine and Padme had told Anakin before he agreed to help him.
"Oh, he was some big-time corporate lawyer," he sighed. What was the true worth of all this wealth when it came at the cost of one's morality?
"Ah, I see."
There was a buzz before the gate slowly opened to allow them in. Despite the swell of nerves upon finally reaching their destination, Obi-Wan truly trusted Anakin. All they needed to do was get through the next few hours of small talk before they could leave, and then Obi-Wan wouldn't have to deal with it again until the next mandatory visiting your only living relative holiday. And Anakin would never have to deal with it again. Obi-Wan tried not to dwell on that part as he turned to the man next to him after they parked the car.
"Are you ready?"
Anakin gave him a smile that was somehow both bashful and reassuring.
"As ready as I'll ever be. Lead the way."
When Obi-Wan exited the car, something felt off, and he noticed there weren't any other vehicles around. Usually Dooku invited some of his close associates to his holiday party, but he and Anakin seemed to be the only ones there so far. Perhaps they were just running early, or everyone else was running late. He didn't mention it to Anakin, not wanting to add to his nerves. On their way to the front door, Anakin sidled up close to Obi-Wan, their shoulders bumping as they walked together. Even that faint amount of contact was comforting, and Obi-Wan almost reflexively leaned into it. It had been quite a while since Obi-Wan last visited Dooku at the estate, but it was the same as it ever was. He watched as Anakin's eyes darted about, taking in the sights that reeked of opulence in every inch of the perfectly manicured lawn and greenery that surrounded the mansion itself. When they reached the front porch, Obi-Wan rang the doorbell, hearing it echo behind the heavy wooden door. As they waited to be let inside, Anakin leaned over to whisper in Obi-Wan's ear,
"Should we have brought a gift?"
"Oh, heavens no," Obi-Wan hurriedly whispered back as the door opened. The butler who greeted them was someone Obi-Wan didn't recognize, but that wasn't surprising considering the way Dooku considered his help easily disposable. Obi-Wan made certain to thank the man as he politely took their coats to hang them in the entry closet, but he wasn't able to ask his name before the man was gone, likely tending to other duties. Without the coat to cover him, Obi-Wan now had an exquisite view of the way the black turtleneck hugged Anakin's frame, showing off the perfect taper from his wide shoulders into his narrow waist. His mouth went dry at how good Anakin looked, but before Obi-Wan could admire him more, the butler appeared again to direct them towards the main dining room. As they passed the doors of the sitting room on the way down the hall, something caught Anakin's attention. He nodded his head towards the fencing sabers Dooku had mounted above the fire mantle.
"Well, they're not shotguns, but the message is still pretty clear," Anakin joked in a hushed voice.
"One of them is mine," Obi-Wan absent-mindedly commented, and Anakin gave him an impressed look. Once they finally reached the dining room, it was empty save for Dooku waiting for them at the head of the long table. He didn't even bother to rise to greet them properly, not that Obi-Wan would have expected him to.
"So nice to finally see you back here, Obi-Wan," Dooku said, slowly looking Obi-Wan and Anakin over, as if analyzing them for weaknesses.
"Yes, it has been a while," Obi-Wan replied nonchalantly, trying to conceal his nerves. "Is everyone else arriving later?"
"I thought it could be just us today. After all, Christmas is a day for family, isn't it?"
Despite his words, there wasn't a trace of warmth in his calculating voice. It took every fiber of Obi-Wan's being to not grab Anakin and go right back out the door and away from this place. He should have known better than to think this would go off without any hitches. Seeming to pick up on Obi-Wan's sudden spike in distress, Anakin tentatively reached out and held Obi-Wan's hand, giving it a reassuring squeeze. Obi-Wan was grateful for the gesture, but he also didn't miss the disdain and the narrow-eyed look on his grandfather's face. Obi-Wan felt bereft when Anakin let go.
"I'd like you to meet Anakin."
"Ah, yes, the man who seems to have caught my grandson's interest lately."
Dooku spoke over him. Obi-Wan hated how that sounded, but either Anakin didn't catch the insinuation, or he miraculously wasn't intimidated.
"It's nice to finally meet you, sir. Or should I call you grandfather?"
Anakin asked with a warm and polite smile.
"You may call me Count Dooku."
Obi-Wan barely resisted rolling his eyes at his grandfather's response. As they moved to finally take their seats, Obi-Wan paused as he realized there were only 3 place settings on the table. He and Anakin would be separated, facing each other rather than seated side by side. He internally cursed. If something went wrong, he'd much prefer having Anakin directly by his side. Picking up on Obi-Wan's obvious hesitation, Anakin spoke up jovially from across the table.
"You're too far away. How am I supposed to pester you from all the way over here?"
He grabbed the plates and silverware and crossed back over to Obi-Wan's side, resolutely putting them right next to Obi-Wan's spot.
"There, that's much better. Now I can steal from your plate like I always do,"
Anakin added with a playful smirk and a light touch to Obi-Wan's arm. Obi-Wan hoped his eyes could convey the gratitude he didn't dare speak aloud. Dooku scoffed at Anakin.
"There's no need for such impropriety."
"The food always tastes better if you take it off someone else's plate," Anakin laughed,
not as warmly as he had in the car, but it might still pass as believable. Obi-Wan sat in the chair nearest to Dooku, wanting to put himself between his grandfather and Anakin, like an extra layer of protection from the man's scrutiny. As the meal was served, there was almost little to no conversation aside from Dooku asking surface-level questions about Anakin's life. The flavor of the food hardly registered with Obi-Wan, his focus solely on Anakin and his grandfather. But thankfully, the conversation wasn't venturing into any topics he and Anakin hadn't already covered. As expected, Dooku demonstrated his usual arrogance, growing more dismissive of Anakin the more he shared about his personal life. But Anakin was handling it with remarkable patience. Aside from his clenched fist hidden under the table that only Obi-Wan could see, he hated to think about what Anakin had been through to make him this strong, what he had weathered to become tempered steel. Obi-Wan reached over and placed his hand over Anakin's fist, gently caressing it with his thumb until he felt Anakin relax a bit. When Anakin unclenched his fist, he turned his hand to hold Obi-Wan's, and Obi-Wan's heart began to race at the touch.
"How did you two meet?" Dooku asked, cold eyes following the line of their arms to where their hands were joined under the table. "At one of Satine's parties. I've known Padme for years," Anakin began to explain, a bright smile lighting up his face as he launched into the story they had devised together.
"It's a shame it didn't work out between you and Miss Kreese, Obi-Wan," Dooku said, cutting Anakin off.
"That was nearly 20 years ago," Obi-Wan blurted out, caught off guard by such a comment.
Anakin had gone still, his smile dimming into uncertainty. Obi-Wan felt Anakin's hand slowly slip out of his, and immediately he missed Anakin's comforting warmth.
"I do think you could have tried a little harder to make it work."
Dooku took a sip of his drink as though he were merely discussing the weather, not bringing up Obi-Wan's past relationships in front of his current partner.
"We were teenagers," Obi-Wan stressed, hoping his grandfather would drop the subject. "And that's hardly something I want to discuss right now, or ever."
In his peripheral vision, Obi-Wan could see the way Anakin had grown tense, his posture suddenly rigid. Obi-Wan almost reached out to put a calming hand on his leg, but thought better of it at the last second, considering the way Anakin had pulled away from him already. As Dooku rose from his seat, he gave Obi-Wan a look that he hadn't a chance of deciphering.
"The best way to follow such a lovely meal is a nice glass of scotch, wouldn't you say? You're welcome to join me in the parlor."
He left the room, hardly sparing the couple a glance as he moved past them and out the door into the hallway. The second his grandfather was out of the room, it was suddenly easier to breathe.
"Do we?"
Anakin asked, gesturing over his shoulder in the direction of the door.
"Yes, we should," Obi-Wan nodded.
"Anakin." Before they stepped out into the hallway, Obi-Wan quickly grabbed his companion by the arm to stop him. Anakin tilted his head and gave Obi-Wan a confused look.
"I'm sorry, I never would have brought you along if I had known it was only going to be the three of us. I don't know what his intentions are."
"What, you think I can't handle a crotchety rich dude?"
Anakin sounded a bit affronted, but it was brief.
"How am I doing, actually?"
he asked, worrying his bottom lip with his teeth as beautiful blue eyes looked up at Obi-Wan from beneath long lashes, and Obi-Wan couldn't help the way his gaze flitted down to Anakin's mouth for a moment.
"You're absolutely wonderful."
Obi-Wan gently ran his hand down Anakin's arm until he realized better, and pulled away awkwardly. He tried to sound as if he were joking when he added,
"If I wasn't in on it myself, I'd certainly be fooled."
"You are too, doing well, that is."
Anakin's cheeks turned red as he stumbled over his own words a bit. Obi-Wan barely caught a glimpse of a smile gracing Anakin's face before he looked down shyly. Obi-Wan chuckled at the returned compliment, but he could feel the way his cheeks burned and hoped his face wasn't turning too red and giving himself away.
"I wish my father was still with us. He'd adore you," Obi-Wan said after a moment of watching Anakin.
It was the truth. Qui-Gon would have loved this brilliant young man in front of him.
"Obi-Wan?"
He felt Anakin's hand gently brush across his own, but it must have just been an accident given their proximity. It made Obi-Wan all too aware of how closely they were standing. He swallowed hard.
"Yes?" "We probably shouldn't keep your grandfather waiting,"
Anakin pointed out, a bit sheepish. "Oh," Obi-Wan snapped out of his reverie.
"You're right, let's go."
When they entered the parlor, Dooku was in his armchair by the fireplace, glass of amber liquid in hand. Like always, the Christmas tree was elegantly trimmed in reds and golds, and Obi-Wan recognized the packages underneath its plastic branches. The same beautifully and precisely wrapped ones as last year, likely still just as empty as they were then, too.
"I was beginning to wonder if you two had gotten lost,"
he sounded as though he was amused at a joke he didn't bother to share with them. Obi-Wan immediately headed towards the assortment of decanters to pour himself a drink. He figured he might as well help himself to it since he rarely splurged on expensive alcohol anymore. Not like his grandfather always had. Hopefully a drink or two would help settle his nerves, or just make them easier to ignore. At least they wouldn't have to stay much longer, maybe an hour or two, to be sufficiently polite.
"Anakin, darling, would you like something to drink?" Obi-Wan asked, holding up an empty glass.
The way the tips of Anakin's ears turned bright red at Obi-Wan's use of the endearment didn't go unnoticed.
No thanks, not since I drove us here today, Anakin answered,
as he made himself comfortable on the couch. Obi-Wan watched for a moment as he traced his fingers along the intricate wood carving on the arm of the couch. After pouring himself a drink, Obi-Wan joined Anakin, sitting close enough that their thighs pressed together. Warmth blossomed through his body at every spot they were touching, and Obi-Wan dared a chance to lightly settle his hand on Anakin's knee. He hoped the touch wouldn't make Anakin uncomfortable, but Anakin leaned against his shoulder like a wordless affirmation of his approval. The way Dooku watched them felt as though he were scrutinizing their every move. Obi-Wan didn't think he and Anakin gave any reason for his grandfather to doubt the authenticity of their relationship, but there was a glint in his eyes that reminded Obi-Wan of the ruthless manner he had always conducted himself in the court. It felt like something was brewing. They kept to a smattering of small talk. Anakin asked a handful of questions about the house, and Obi-Wan only half listened as he studied his grandfather's face. The man had few tells, but if anyone knew them, it was his own grandson. And then the storm finally hit.
"There is something I wish to discuss with you, Obi-Wan, privately," Dooku said, voice even and impassive as he set down his empty glass on the side table near his chair with a definitive clink.
Obi-Wan took one last swig of his drink, feeling it burn down his throat. This was exactly the kind of situation he had hoped to avoid. His grip on Anakin's knee tightened like the man was his only reinforcement and shield against the brutality of the incoming onslaught. Anakin picked up on his nervousness immediately.
"Surely whatever it is can be said in front of me, too," he commented as he rested his own hand on top of Obi-Wan's almost defensively.
"These matters don't involve you," Dooku brushed him off.
"There's nothing I keep from Anakin," Obi-Wan said, though his own words rang hollow in his ears. Dooku smiled at him, though it didn't reach his cold, calculating eyes.
His grandfather scoffed. "If I had known you were looking for someone younger, I could have introduced you to my associate's grandson. I believe his name is Arash. He's poised to become CEO in the next few years. Now that's a young man with a successful future ahead of him."
"I'm quite happy in my current relationship," Obi-Wan insisted. His stomach churned at such things being brought up in front of Anakin.
"You always were a naive, just like your father." Dooku narrowed his eyes at them. "That won't last. He'll lose interest. What will become of your love when you grow old far before he does? What reason will he have to be with you if I should decide to cut off your inheritance?"
How was it that his grandfather could always see through his masks? Dooku zeroed in on his insecurities like a marksman hitting his target and reminding Obi-Wan of every reason he had never worked up the courage to approach Anakin before. Obi-Wan set down his glass carefully, worried it might shatter from how tightly he was gripping it.
"I didn't even know about any of this until today," Anakin interjected, trying to help.
"Oh, already keeping secrets from the boy," Dooku feigned surprise. "That hardly makes a good foundation for a relationship."
The conversation was taking a turn Obi-Wan hadn't expected, and for once he found that he was truly having difficulty finding his mental footing. Somehow Obi-Wan hadn't accounted for the possibility of Dooku revealing this side of himself while meeting his significant other for the first time.
"Don't you think you've wasted enough of your life, Obi-Wan?"
Dooku phrased it as a question, but his opinion on the matter was obvious.
"There's still time for you to return to law school and finish your degree. You could join me at the firm, and one day it will be yours."
"You know very well that's never been what I've wanted," Obi-Wan muttered, the miserable weight of his family's overambitious expectations making itself known once again, reminding him that he'd never be free of it, not if things continued the way they always had.
"How can you speak to your own family that way?"
Anakin spoke up, barely concealed anger pulsing through his words.
"It is merely the truth, is it not?"
"It's not!"
Dooku raised an eyebrow at Anakin's outburst. But that didn't stop the young man from continuing.
"Obi-Wan is so much more than what you think of him. He's so much more than what you think you've made him to be."
Obi-Wan might not have been able to find his footing, but Anakin sure had.
"I'm not with him because I expect some sort of monetary payoff at the end. I'm with Obi-Wan for all the reasons you can't seem to see. Because he genuinely cares about others. Because he does crafts with little kids so that they have something to give their parents for the holidays."
At some point during Anakin's rush of emotions, he had turned his focus solely on Obi-Wan. His hand came to rest on Obi-Wan's arm, and Obi-Wan met Anakin's gaze, suddenly finding himself overwhelmed by the depth of the sincerity in his deep blue eyes. Did he really mean all of that? Was it not all just a very convincing act?
Anakin continued, an affectionate smile lighting up his face.
Because he does things like dressing up like Indiana Jones for Halloween, not with the iconic hat and whip, but the archaeology professor with the glasses and the bow tie.
Obi-Wan had no idea Anakin had noticed him the night of the Halloween party. He had raided his own closet for a last-minute costume after forgetting to get one ahead of time.
Maybe next year I'll convince you to get an actual Indiana Jones costume.
Anakin gave his arm a gentle squeeze and looked away shyly. There was a beat of silence in which no one spoke. Obi-Wan's heart swelled with affection for this incredible man he met only hours before, and he cursed himself for being too hesitant to approach him all those months ago. Of course, Dooku shattered the silence with just one single sentence.
How much is he paying you?
Anakin looked stricken. The light snuffed from his eyes, like he had been doused with water. Obi-Wan was certain a similar expression was on his face, too.
Where did you find this young man, Obi-Wan? He's quite dedicated to your little farce.
Dooku seemed amused. All of the pieces began to fall together in Obi-Wan's mind.
Like I said earlier, Satine introduced us.
Anakin tried to recover, though Obi-Wan knew it was a lost cause. From the very beginning, apparently.
You knew?
Obi-Wan asked, not bothering to keep the accusatory tone out of his voice. Obi-Wan had made a terrible miscalculation, and there was no weaving his way out of this one. Dooku stood up and began to pour himself another drink.
I knew you weren't seeing anyone. Do you think I don't keep tabs on my own family? It's much easier to deal with issues before they arise.
On his last word, he shot a condescending look at the two of them. All this time, his grandfather had known, and he let Anakin and Obi-Wan make fools of themselves. While he knew the truth about their relationship, he let them perform their entire act like court gestures for his own entertainment. Anakin's grip on Obi-Wan's arm tightened, and Obi-Wan barely caught his whispered,
I'm sorry.
It ignited something in Obi-Wan. It was bad enough to receive this kind of treatment himself from his family, though he had built up something of a tolerance for it over the years. But for Dooku to turn them into some sort of joke, for him to turn Anakin into a joke for his own amusement, it sparked a righteous fury within him. Anakin didn't deserve to be treated in such a way, and it was Obi-Wan's fault he was here in the first place. Somehow this was the final straw. After so many years of tolerating his grandfather's disrespect and controlling every aspect of Obi-Wan's life, he'd had more than enough. There was no need to put up with this anymore. He was a grown man, he had a stable job, and he was content with the lot he had earned himself in life. He looked down at the way Anakin was still holding on to him despite their cover being blown. Maybe he'd have a shot at happiness, too. You can keep it all. Obi-Wan was surprised at how level his own voice sounded, despite the turbulent emotions in his mind and heart. The words rang in his chest with a reassuring clarity he hadn't felt in years.
A life like yours could never bring me happiness, and clearly it's never brought to you any either.
Have you gone mad?
Shock was showing through the cracks in Dooku's stoic facade. Finally, after all these years, Obi-Wan managed to surprise him.
It's always possible, but if going mad feels this great, I should have given in to it ages ago.
Laughter bubbled up in relief as Obi-Wan rose from his seat and offered his hand to Anakin to pull him up. Anakin quickly took his hand, eyes wide in surprise, but they didn't let go of each other once he was standing.
You'll lose everything, I'll make sure of it. The firm, the ancestral family home, all of it.
Dooku threatened, clearly trying to find a way to make Obi-Wan doubt his decision. It wasn't going to work this time.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it?
Adrenaline was pulsing through Obi-Wan as he headed out the parlor doors, Anakin's hand clasped tightly in his. He stopped in the doorway and turned back to face his grandfather for what he hoped would be the last time.
And I'd hardly call it an ancestral home when you bought it from a real estate baron when I was a child.
Dooku didn't follow them out of the parlor, and Obi-Wan didn't expect him to. He only let go of Anakin's hand long enough to retrieve their coats from the closet near the door.
Obi-Wan?
Anakin got his attention.
Are you sure? What about everything? He can die alone with all his money and fancy scotch for all I care.
Obi-Wan hesitated as he put on his coat and scarf.
I should have done this years ago.
You know,
Anakin gave him a conspiratorial grin as they stepped out onto the porch.
It'd probably be really satisfying if you slammed the door behind us.
Just full of excellent ideas, aren't you?
Obi-Wan returned the look before resolutely slamming the front door shut, in a way he was certain reverberated through the house.
Obi-Wan's surety in his own decision was further cemented by the fact that Dooku just let them go. His grandfather was simply letting Obi-Wan walk out of the life he had perfectly curated. It was both exhilarating and terrifying, and Obi-Wan knew he'd catch hell from Satine the moment she found out about his rash decision. By the time they made it back to Anakin's car, the rush of adrenaline was already wearing off, and the severity of Obi-Wan's decision was beginning to settle in. The inheritance could have afforded him stability for the rest of his life. He could have donated a large portion of it to the library and would have finally been able to upgrade the computers. His downward spiral was halted when he caught sight of the gates wide open before the car was even near them. The sight was a confirmation of how little Dooku cared if he left, and how much less Obi-Wan cared about what he was leaving behind. He could almost hear a whispered "good riddance" from the grind of the gates shutting behind them. Obi-Wan scoffed. Right, this outcome had been inevitable. He would have never chosen to become what Dooku wanted, and all these years Obi-Wan had only been delaying the inevitable, tolerating it because his grandfather was the only family he had left, his last remaining connection to his father. The enormity of it weighed on Obi-Wan's shoulders as they headed down the long driveway. Everything felt final. Obi-Wan didn't have any doubts that his grandfather would follow through on his threat. It was sobering, but also freeing. He had never felt entirely like his own person before that moment. There were no longer any expectations casting long shadows over his life. Though Obi-Wan wished Anakin hadn't had to witness that exchange, he was grateful that he hadn't been alone. It was as if Anakin's presence had given Obi-Wan the final bit of courage he needed to finally put his foot down. They had yet to turn on the car radio, so an uncomfortable silence fell over them as Obi-Wan lost himself in his thoughts. When the crunch of the gravel under the tires faded into the smooth rush of asphalt as Anakin turned onto the main road, Obi-Wan spoke up. "Anakin, I'm sorry for all of that," Obi-Wan began his apology. "You certainly didn't deserve any of it. It's far from what you signed up for."
"It's all right. Family can be difficult," Anakin said.
His eyes were glued to the road ahead, and Obi-Wan noticed the way his hand clenched the steering wheel tightly.
"I'm sorry your grandfather thought it was ever okay to treat you like that."
"I'm far from the only person he treats like that," Obi-Wan laughed dryly. "But thank you, I appreciate it."
Silence settled over the two of them again, but this time it was free from any of the earlier tension. The sun was already dropping below the horizon, casting the late afternoon sky in washes of oranges and pink. The last blinding rays of the winter sunlight were hitting Anakin's hair in the way Obi-Wan admired so much, and he wished he could reach out and touch it. He wished that he could feel how soft those curls would be as he carted his fingers through them. Suddenly, Anakin jabbed the button for the hazard lights and pulled the car off the side of the road. The unexpected stop rekindled Obi-Wan's nerves, and he turned to Anakin for an explanation.
"Anakin, is something wrong?" Obi-Wan asked, concerned.
"All right," Anakin took a deep breath before he faced Obi-Wan, fixing his brilliantly blue eyes on him.
Obi-Wan suppressed a shiver from the intensity of Anakin's gaze, stomach clenching in a knot at the sudden shift in his demeanor. He tried to read Anakin's expression, but he didn't know him well enough yet to parse the furrows of his brow or the downward slant of his mouth. Obi-Wan's heart hammered in his chest as he waited for Anakin's next words to fall from the lips he couldn't tear his eyes away from.
"I need an answer from you, right now."
"Well, then ask your question,"
Obi-Wan shot back, tension making his tone sharper than he intended. Anakin's gaze softened a bit and lost its edge as he sheepishly rubbed the back of his neck.
"Since that all went so wonderfully, how about coming with me to my family's party instead?"
End chapter 1.